Good evening to you. Thank you for tuning in again. And I hope you've had a blessed day and enjoyed the Lord's Day. We're going to jump into the Word of God here this evening. And if you would remember some of those prayer requests we mentioned this morning, if you will, please. Let me say again that if you have a prayer request or you need anything at all, if you need someone to come help you with some answers or questions you have to the Bible or Scripture or anything like that, don't hesitate to contact us. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to get with you. And especially if you have prayer, we'd love to pray with you. So please, again, call the number there on the website. And those of you that have my number, don't hesitate to call either there as well. We appreciate all of you. We love you. We're praying for you. And I hope you're doing well, okay? Hope to hear from you, though, soon. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We'll jump into it this evening. Lord, we do thank you again and praise you for your goodness to us and to come together again on the Lord's Day as we have. And we just pray that you'd bless our time now. And although, Lord, we are not physically together, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit. We've come together in the Spirit, and we thank you for that. I pray for those out there, Lord, that are listening. You'd encourage their hearts. Something said there this evening would encourage them, would speak to them, would convict them, as it has done to me, Lord, and I pray for that. Bless our time now. Lead us, lead me, guide me by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. Take your Bibles there this evening. Let's go to Psalm 101, Psalm 101. We began last Sunday evening with what hinders you. In our walk with God, we often, as you know very well, have hindrances that enter into our lives and try and keep us from serving the Lord. I'm reminded of the fellow that was out fishing one day. He came out and a great storm arose and flipped his boat over. He capsized and he made his way over to a small island, and he was there for many, many years, and he thought he'd never be found, never be found. Finally, a Coast Guard helicopter was coming by. They saw the smoke on that island and they said, "Oh boy, what's going on?" They come down, land on the island. He runs out to him. He's shaggy and dirty. His clothes are tattered and torn. They said, "How long have you been out here?" He said, "I've been out here years. I don't even know how long. Thank God you finally found me." And they said, "Well, get on and get your stuff. Let's rescue you, get you out of here." He got onto the helicopter. They were coming up off the island and about to fly away. And they looked over and said, "Oh, is that your hut down there you built?" He said, "Yeah, that's my house." They said, "Boy, that's good job." He said, "Thank you." They looked over to the right over there and they said, "Boy, what's that other building?" He said, "Oh, that's my church. That's, I built a church." They said, "You built a church?" "Yeah, absolutely. I have to worship somewhere." And they were flying away and they looked over to the other side of the island. They saw another hut over there and they said, "Boy, what's that hut? Is that another house?" He said, "Oh no, that's the church I used to go to." That's the church I used to go to. Isn't that just like Christians though? Having some kind of problem or issue, and there's always a hindrance there that'll try to push us out of the Lord's work and away from God's people and all that we looked at last week. But what hinders you? What's hindering you? Again, we looked at last week the who that hinders you, W-H-O, the who. There's often people that come into our lives, and we walked through the New Testament and looked at how Paul had said and repeatedly said to us as believers to withdraw ourselves or separate ourselves from those that walk not according to the Word of God. There's people in our lives trying to hinder our walk with the Lord. I want to come to a different, little bit of a different angle, if you will, tonight. I titled the message, "What You Looking At?" What are you looking at? Very cautious and cautions to us in the Scriptures about what we're looking at. Let's look at Psalm 101, though. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 101, he says, "I'll sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with thee. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord." A wonderful psalm from David, but notice how he mentions his eyes several times. And I believe here, number one, the biggest hindrance, if I could say, for a Christian. Now, I'm talking to Christians tonight, children of God. If you're not saved, again, we said, we'd love to share the gospel with you. You need to get saved. But I'm talking to Christians tonight in particular. One of the biggest, if not the number one hindrance to a Christian is what we look at. We don't go out and blatantly sin openly, at least I hope you don't. We love the Lord and want to be respectful and want to honor the Lord and all of that. But one of the biggest things is that we often will allow our eyes to look at things we shouldn't and wonder. And it will, again, as the psalmist says, mine eye affecteth what? My heart. Now, the Bible has hundreds of verses dealing with that very subject of our eyes, what we look at. Jesus described the importance of the eye in Matthew 6, you know, that it was the light of the body, the light of the body, and it should be single, it should be single. You look into somebody's eyes, you can literally see their soul, can't you? As it's often said, you can see. You can see in, and you know that, see somebody looking at you. Now, what you look at affects how you act. It always seems to start with a look, doesn't it? Now, we're going to go through Scripture tonight and look at how the Bible describes to us how we ought to carry ourselves by way of how we control our eyes and what we should and shouldn't look at. But I believe truly that a hindrance to a Christian tonight, to a Christian, is what we look at, what we allow in. Now, notice what David says. David says, and he's expressing his praise to God, he makes it a point to tell the Lord how he will behave himself in his own house. Notice verse 3 again. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no thing. Verse 2, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, he's telling God this. This is what I want to do. Now, we understand in David's life, there was a time when he did not do that. And how did it, what caused that sin within his house? You know, he looked. It says he went out on his balcony and he looked, saw Bathsheba. Now, David is expressing his praise, but makes it clear he wants to honor God within his own house. Let me say this. He will not allow, as he says, those within his house, David said, that are not have a perfect heart, that do not, that express deceit or work deceit. He says, I will not allow those into my house. Should we not expel those same characters from our own homes? If somebody walked up and knocked on our front door tonight and said, I'd like to come in, and you know that they're a whoremonger and they're a blasphemous person, and they're, we go down the list, you would kindly say, no, thank you. No. But we do allow some of those characters into our home via other avenues, right? Television, cell phones, those areas that we already know that, but we should expel those things. We ought to be very careful. Now, I'm preaching in a lot to myself tonight because I need this too. If we're not careful, it can be very easy to allow those things to come into our home, especially during this time. I've said this, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but one area you need to be working on while you're home like this, while you have this time, you need to be working on your own walk with the Lord, your own spiritual walk. You need to have the working, building that up so that you can minister to those around you. Take time to do that. We've gotten so lackadaisical, so apathetic in these last couple of months, especially, and allowing some things to come in that they shouldn't. Now, you can tell a lot about a person just by looking into their eyes. It's true. Our adversaries, plural, world, the flesh, and the devil, are constantly tempting us to look at something that is contrary to the will and word of God. Contrary to the will and word of the Lord. Do you have that today? Are you careful about that? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That ought to be a prayer for every one of us. Every one of us. I don't want to, Lord, before mine eyes. I won't do it. You have control tonight over what you watch. You do, truly, wholeheartedly. And we're going to walk through Scripture. Now, let's go all the way back to the beginning. And I don't want to belabor this point too much. Go back to the beginning, Genesis 3. And I want you to see with me that it starts with a look. Starts with a look, Genesis 3. Now notice verse number 4, Genesis 3, 4. I'll give you a minute to get over there. It says there in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now that's the first lie, right? Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your what? eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the what? The mind? The heart? No, to the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And verse 7, and the what? Eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So all the way back in the beginning, it started with the eyes, with the look. Notice he tempts Eve with the idea that she hasn't seen everything that she has a right to see. That's what the world, the adversary, and the devil do to us this very day. You have a right to see. Yeah, you have a right. You have a right. You have a right to. God is withholding something good from you. It starts with a look. Sin always looks good. It wouldn't be enticing if it was detestable. If sin was nasty, detestable, disgusting, we look at, no, I don't want that. No, it looks good, doesn't it? It smells good. It feels good. Sin is deceitful, and we have to be careful about that. But it starts by looking, and it looks good. Any deceit, he says, when she saw that the tree was good for food. Food. Food has to do with your what? Pleasure. Has to do with your personal, physical needs. Pleasant to the eyes, to be desired. Oh, we've been through that before, but all that there. We see here. Now, coming back to this in the very beginning, God is not withholding something from you. God has revealed everything you need to know, both to know and to do His will, and to please Him, both to know God and to please God. Everything's contained here. Now, we come back to this, that this is why we must filter every experience through the Word of God. When Satan came to her, she should have said, wait, let me go to God's Word and see what it says. Let me go back. Now, she stated what God had said and told them, but she was off a little bit. Now, he came back to her with a lie. We come back, filter everything. I said this before, I'll say it again. The greatest agent of change for a human being is this book right here. This book will change your life outside of everything else. It trumps every other thing in this world by way of trying to change who you are, change your life. This book is the greatest agent of change for a human being, and it will change you. What are we saying? We're coming back to filtering everything back through this book, through this book. People will see something. Well, I saw that, and I think that. No, come back and filter it through. Now, notice he tempts Eve. He tempts her. The eyes of both were open, but weren't they both already open? The question is, we know that. It's like, again, I have here the movie where the secret agent tells him, you've seen too much. Now what? I got to kill you. You've seen too much. We're going to have to take you out now. Did you know there are some things you should not see, and it's okay you don't see them? Well, I've got to see everything to know, to get the truth of life. No, you don't. There are some things you don't need to see and you shouldn't see. You don't need to find out that an 18-wheeler is going to kill you if you stand in front of it. You don't need to experience that. You can take my word on that one, okay? Take that one to the bank. You don't need to experience some things. You don't need to see that. It will enlighten you in the wrong direction. I love how that's put. So coming back to you again, what are you looking at? What is it? It can be the biggest detriment in your life if you allow that. What's hindering you tonight? What is it? You precious dear people out there listening that love God and serve God and you're faithful to Him. If we're not careful, we can allow just one little thing in, myself especially, that'll throw everything off track. Everything off. Everything off. Now notice here, the seeing proceeded directly to the doing. What we see causes us to want to act upon it. That's inevitable. When you see it. I mean, have you ever been to the cereal aisle at Walmart? I can't hardly I don't know which cereal to pick. I mean, you've got all kinds. You ever been to a donut shop, you don't know which one to pick. You want to act upon that. You don't know where to go. What do you get overwhelmed? For some of us guys, we like to go into the tool section, right? I'll leave it at that. We get overwhelmed. We don't know what to buy. We don't know what to get. And thank God for me, I don't have any money. So it helps me. I just walk out with my head down and I feel good. Okay. Now, we see here, though, as we look at these things, I'm making light of some of this, but he says, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's what David says. Okay? So in the beginning, we see the look. Now, let's continue Genesis 13. And in Genesis 13, you know, I'm sure you, dear folks, know your Bibles. It's a story of Lot in Genesis 13 and verse number 10. 13:10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Did you notice that? Isn't it interesting that he notes there the Garden of Eden or the Garden of the Lord? What happened in the Garden of the Lord? Started with a look. Now Lot's looking up and going, whoa, I like that. It's well watered. By the way, he should have given deference or given Abraham the first pick out of respect, out of honor, but he didn't. He lifted up what? His eyes and looked. He said, boy, I like that. I like that. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to do. As we said this morning, be cautious and careful. Jesus said, be careful. You want your reward now on earth? Go ahead, I'll give it. But if you want your reward in heaven, you're doing a great work and I will bless your life and I will take care of you. Lot lifted up his eyes, which later would cause him to dwell in the wicked city and eventually destroy his life and his family. He looked up and saw what was pleasant to the eyes. Note, even as the garden of the Lord, reference back to the garden. Not everything that sparkles is diamond. Not everything that glitters is gold, right? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. And although it looked good to Lot, he should have said, no, you know what, Abraham? You're the man of God. You have first pick. I'll do what you want me to do. 1 John 2:15, he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, notice the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember, these things are passing away. What you're interested in right now, maybe for some of you, it's going to pass away. You'll be focused on that day you stand before our great Savior. The world has no desire to control their eyes. Don't listen to the lies they spew, attempting to deceive you that there is nothing wrong or sinful about what you look at. It's a lie, isn't it? Don't let them tell you what's right and wrong, by the way. Well, you can look at that. That's no problem. You didn't act upon it, did you? It's not a problem. No, it'll lead to that. Jesus said, you know, if you look at a woman, lust after her, you've already committed adultery. You've already, with my standard, Jesus says, have already committed the sin. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? 2 Peter 2:14, he says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Boy, he's going through a whole list of things. Having eyes full of adultery. I believe today America is saturated with people have eyes full of adultery. And shame on you and shame on me as Christians that allow ourselves to look at some of that stuff. Shame on us. It's not right. We know that. And we think it's okay if we don't act on it. No, Jesus said, I've just set the bar that much higher. We have integrity with that. Proverbs 16:30, he shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. He's shutting his eyes. For what reason? To devise forward things. Just a kind of a play on words there. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in what? His own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord weigheth the spirits. Oh, I have so many here. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 30:11, there's a generation that curseth their father, doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. You see that? There is a generation. And I believe today is the generation that he's speaking about there. I think every generation has said the same thing. But we have progressively gotten worse. And there's a generation today, and I believe it's now. They are pure in their own eyes, and their eyes are lofty. Their eyelids are lifted up. What are they looking at? They're sure not looking at Jesus Christ. They're sure not fixed on Him. Hebrews 12, what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now we see here, again, we come back to the Bible and see what it says. The eye affecteth the heart. What's hindering you this evening? What is it? For me, I have to be cautious and careful. As we look at things and look out, we desire things. We see things. Boy, the other day, I saw the most beautiful convertible. I think it was a 68 red convertible Corvette. And that guy parked right in front there on the road. And I looked at that and I thought, man, that thing's nice. And I wanted that thing. Thank God, again, I have no money for that. But you think about, boy, it really affects your heart, doesn't it? Some of those things. Others of you have other things that you see and look at. And coming back, though, that we must be careful. Caution against that. Now, in Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus makes this statement, and he says this, in hell, he lift up his, do you remember what it says? His eyes. In hell, he lift up his eyes. Apparently, scripturally, we know this, the soul has eyes. can't understand some of that, but it's true. He lifted up his eyes. And so the eyes, sadly, those in hell not only can feel and speak, but apparently they can see. Now that's something, we know that. In heaven, we're going to be able to do all of that. It's tragic to think about that. Our eyes and what they do. 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2, it was when David saw Bathsheba that he lusted after her in his heart, which led directly to a sinful act. And so coming back to gentlemen, men especially, be careful and cautious. I don't need to belabor that point. We have far too many Christian, godly, supposed godly men today that watch things they know they shouldn't be watching, looking at stuff they shouldn't be. How can we lead a nation? How can we lead our families? How can we serve God in this perilous time as we're living in today when we're not where we should be in that? Jesus supersedes the law, and we already said that. He states in Matthew 5:28 that looking upon a woman to lust after her trespass law already. I already said that. So we see here. Now, what are God's eyes looking at? Number two, so where are you at in your eyes, but what's God looking at? What's God? Now, 2 Chronicles 16:9, he says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. For what reason? First, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Whose heart is perfect towards him. Then he says, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Obviously rebuking them. But he says his eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to look for people, those people, individuals that are strong, whose heart is perfect toward him, that he can use to show himself strong. God's looking for someone like you tonight. He can show himself strong through your life. Everyone else is doing this. Yeah, but what are you doing? Joe Blow over there is watching this. He's getting away with it. Yeah, but what are you doing? Your heart, where are you at? Not with eye service as men pleasers. Remember we said that this morning. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers. You ought to memorize that. Coming back, he's looking for people, individuals to show himself strong. Show himself strong. This goes for every child of God, every Christian. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding what? The evil and the good. As we said this morning, what's your motivation for serving Christ? So that they can see what you did? No, so God can see what you did. Why? Because the Lord's eyes are in every place, beholding both evil and good. So if you're committing evil acts, as a child especially, you remember, well, if nobody sees me, I'll get away. No. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. We used to sing that often. The Father up above is looking down with love. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. And don't you think for a minute you're going to get away with that. Don't you think that God's looking, God's waiting, God's working. Amos 9:8, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. His eyes are upon the sinful kingdom. His eyes are upon America tonight. We know it. He's still in control. He's still at work. We as Christian people ought to rise up and say, I'll be holy. I'll be pure. I'll be ready for your use, God. I'm at your disposal. I'm ready for your work in my life. What is God looking at? He's looking for people He can use. He's looking for purity. He's looking for those that are right. And let me say thirdly, what is our help to control what we look at? What's our help to control our eyes? Oh, the Bible's wonderful. The Bible's wonderful. Let's go to Psalm 119. Let's go over there. Psalm 119, and we'll be done here. Psalm 119. Wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. You'll want to read through many, many times in your lifetime. Psalm 119. Let's go to verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, he doesn't say, open thou mine eyes so that I can see this or that or see your miracles. No, what's he say? That I can behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, remember, he's speaking of the written word, the written word. Open mine eyes. Now, in order to behold wondrous things, we obviously have to have our face in this book and our eyes in this book daily, habitually, continuously. Open thou mine eyes. Notice verse 37. He says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Turn away mine eyes. So he says, open mine eyes to your word and turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Vanity, all that goes with that. Notice verse 82. Verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I long to see your word. I long to read your word and your scriptures. We know throughout many, many millennia, throughout history, that people that were persecuted for serving Christ, the one thing they desired the most was to have the word, to have the Bible, to be able to read the Bible, to be able to have it again after it's been confiscated and they've been put in prison, and on we could go. He says, I want your word. Mine eyes fail for thy word. Notice verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the direction it gives. A lamp and a light, what do they affect? They affect the eyes. They affect the eyes. The lamp shows you where to go. The light brings a path, a direction to your feet, right? Path shows you. Your eyes see that. Your eyes are affected by the light. Verse 130, entrance of the words giveth light. Giveth light. Again, affecting the eyes. Verse 148, as we're walking through, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Having to do with the word of God. Psalm 19, verse 8, he says, commandments, the commandments of God enlighten the eye. You want to purge your eyes? You want to clean your eyes up? I say this often, and you're sick of hearing it probably. This will clean up your eyes better than anything else in this world. You have time. Don't give me that. You have time. I have time to be in the Word of God. How much time do we spend on other things? Plenty of time. Plenty of time. We know that. Commandments of God enlighteneth the eye. What is our help to control our eyes? What is it? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God clearly laid out in Psalm 119, right? Clearly laid out. Thy words giveth light. Lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Again, we said Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. As you run your race, you look unto Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes. Titus 2:13, he says, looking for that blessed hope. You got to be looking. Your eyes ought to be fixed on that blessed hope of, the return of our Savior. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, he says, looking at things which are not seen. You look at things that are seen, that's temporal. It says we look at things that are not seen. The eternal things. Focus your eyes today. What are you looking at? I believe the biggest hindrance in the Christian life today is that, our eyes. What's hindering you tonight? What is it? What is it? John 9 says Jesus passed by and he did it for a reason. One reason. What was it? Do you remember? To heal the blind man. So the disciples came and said, Lord, who sinned here? His parents? That he was born blind, or did he sin? Or what's the reason that he was born blind? There's got to be a reason. He was punished that way. What does Jesus say? Neither, but that I can, perform a miracle, that I can show forth my power, that I can work. And we see Revelation 21, verse 4, one day the Lord will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Those eyes will be cleansed permanently. Those eyes will be fixed permanently on Christ our Savior, on Christ the Lord. What are you looking at? I want to encourage you with that. I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm not trying to offend you. I sure pray the Word of God, though, convicted you about something. Because as Christian, as children of God, we need to be fixed and focused on the Lord and Savior, especially during these times, and knowing that. Well, what's hindering me? Maybe it's not a who in your life. Maybe it's yourself. Those things. Get into this book. You have plenty of time. Plenty of time. You need to rise early? Do it. You need to stay up late? Do it. You need to put aside something? Do it. We need the cleansing of the Word of God for our eyes. Who's hindering you? Car started all the way back at the beginning, Genesis 3. She looked and saw. She looked and saw. She looked and saw that. I'm reminded of a story that I read. There's a man, an author by the name of Malcolm Muckridge. He told us an incident in his life. He had been on business in, I believe it was India. And during a free time, he went down to the river there, and he was just kind of wading in the water, just kind of splashing around. He's by himself. And about 200 yards away, maybe 100 yards away or so, as he recalls it, he saw a young woman come, and she came down to the bank of the river. And she looked that way, looked this way, and didn't see anyone around, didn't see him off there in the distance. And sure enough, she waded down into the water to basically bathe herself. He said he sat there for a while and watched her and watched her, knew he shouldn't have been, knew he shouldn't have done that. And he watched, and he finally couldn't stand it any longer. And he got down into the water, and he began to swim over towards that young girl so he could get a better look. He swam and swam, and he got close, about 50 yards away, and 40, 30, he got real close. He was about 20 yards away, maybe 10 yards. And that young girl saw him, and she jumped up out of the water and put her robe on, wrapped herself around with her shawl. He said as he approached her and got close, he realized and looked, and he saw that she had missing fingers. She had deformed face. Chunks of hair were missing. He realized she was a leprous girl. He said in that moment, he realized the depravity that was within him, the depravity. We think about today, we got to be very careful about that. We should not ever trust our own hearts. The Bible describes it as being wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? He that trusts his own heart is a fool, Solomon says. We come back and we fix our eyes upon this book right here, and we allow it to cleanse us and filter our eyes, and we get back focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher. And he was set, and we ought to be set just as Jesus, focused in on our task at hand for him. What you looking at? You're where you're supposed to be tonight? Oh, what a challenge to me. What a challenge I know to all of us. We ought to be getting closer and closer to Christ as we see these times that are happening right now. We're closer and closer to him, focused in on what God wants us to do. All right? I'm praying for you, and I pray you'd pray for us. Pray for me especially, and that God would guide us and direct us in these days ahead. Hope that was a blessing and encouragement to you. But get where you should be. Begin to strengthen your own spiritual walk, and then minister to those around you, especially your spouse and your children, and those whoever's around you in your life, whoever it would be, and strengthen their walk with God through yours, through your faithfulness, through your purity, through your righteousness. Amen. Well, let's end with a word of prayer. All right. Lord, thank you again. We praise and love you. We ask that you'd guide us. Oh, Lord, especially myself. I pray you'd strengthen us, Lord. Lead us as a people. Now is not the time, Lord, as I've said, to lax off, to, Lord, back off, to get lackadaisical and apathetic. Now is the time to fix our eyes, Lord, not on the lust of the flesh, not on things that would hinder us, not on things of the world, not those things that would please us, Lord, but fix our eyes upon you. For, Lord, we do believe that time is short. It's closer now than ever before. May we be found faithful, God, where we are right now, not looking at the temperature of the world and what they're doing, and what they're looking, what they're focused on, but Lord, what you want us. Cleanse us, Lord, through thy precious holy word, as you said in Psalm 119, for thy honor, for thy glory. Strengthen us in these days, in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Thank you.